Welcome to Your Mom is a Podcast. In this
Your Mom's a podcast. Yeah, Your Mom's a Podcast.
Here we interview incredible people and their moms to be like, excuse me, how did you do it?
I'm Sundeep Parikh, you're
Milana Vintra.
And we're both two LA-based comedians and actors, and we're also new parents, and we need help.
So we're going to talk to people who are incredible and inspiring and change the world, crack us up, all of the above.
And learn to be better parents, and also learn to have some compassion for our parents.
Yeah, who maybe did some things a little wonky or a little perfect, because look at us, we turned out to be perfect people.
So welcome to Your Mom is a Podcast. Hey, Milana, what's going on in your parenting life?
The thing is, he's amazing. Like, he's doing great. It's us around him trying to figure out how to do it better and then how to have better feelings about how we're doing about it. So I am, figuring out the working mom thing. I think I'm just figuring out the balance of wanting to do all the things I want to do with him, and then also wanting to do all the things I want to do without him. And part of that is being a working person and having a social life. And I feel like now that he's almost 2.5, I've started to have friendships again. Like, I think one of the things that's deprioritized in the early stages of parenthood is your friends. Like, you only have so much time currency to spend, and it goes towards your family and your 100%. Work. It goes towards, like, the obligations.
If you're not willing to babysit, you're probably not going to stay as in touch.
If you are, like, even if you want to come over and hang out with me and my kid, I only have so much attention I can give you, because I'm also trying to
in two places.
Keep this person from doing something they shouldn't be doing, or keep them entertained, or whatever. And I'm very grateful that I have a little bit of room for that in my life now. That's been really, really cool. Also, now my son is, like, starting to have friends that he wants to hang out with sometimes more than me. I know that's, I was not expecting that until he was like 12, but I'm grateful to be like, yeah, go hang out with him. And then I could just have a conversation with the mom. The terrible twos are interesting. I don't even think that's what they should be called, because he's really just becoming himself.
Yeah.
His language is, like, so freaking cute and funny.
After the threes and fours now, like, I don't think there's anything terrible about the twos. I don't know. I think it all depends on, like, you know, the development of your own specific child as to where, like, you know, things that we might perceive as terrible. But really, I think developmentally, they're kind of where they're supposed to be, you know. The thing I'm having a challenge with right now is that my little dude is taking some swings. He's like, he's hitting.
Or other people?
Oh yeah, yes. Like other kids for sure. But they, like, you know, that sort of makes somewhat, you know, some sense. Like they're putting their hands on each other. They're wrestling a lot, and it kind of can turn into something. But then he'll also, hit me or his mom, and like that's been really challenging, because I really want to address it, but also not shame him and, you know, have it be all punishment driven, to not necessarily shame that kid, but also, like, to make sure. My move, I heard this somewhere, was like, pay attention to the other kid. Mm. Like if my kid hits another kid and the kid starts to cry or whatever, just like go to the other kid and be like, are you okay? I'm so sorry that he hit you. Like, I kind of give my attention to the other kid rather than putting a bunch of negative attention on my little guy.
And kind of model how to respond if somebody's hurt. This is how you treat them.
Exactly. Trying to do it, it's just challenging, though, because your own emotions, your own stuff comes up where you're I get angry, I get upset, like, to see him hitting his mom, you know, and then to, like, have to, like, stuff that down. Or
not easy being your best self all the time. Does any of this gentle parenting ever get to be too much for you, where you're like, oh, I'm so glad he feels safe? I don't.
Yeah, you know what? It absolutely does. But then the problem is that I read something like Greer's book and I realize that it's science backed. I realize that it's
how annoying.
Developmentally correct, you know,
for you to model your best self in front of him.
Yeah, I have to do the work. It comes down to the individual having to actually do the work on themselves and not expecting everyone else around them to fall in line or act a certain way. And I hate that.
Which, like, when I talk to people who are deciding whether or not to have kids or not, part of the thing that I think about is how much this makes me look at myself and how cool it is to have this opportunity to see yourself in this way and work on yourself. It's very egocentric.
You get to parent yourself.
I just want to be perfect already.
Well, maybe someone who can help us become more perfect is Greer Kirshenbaum, who is our guest today. She is a neuroscientist, a practicing doula, and a lifelong learner, and she has dedicated her career to teach the science and support the art of nurturing infants. She has a book that I read most of. I'm still working on it, okay? But it's great. It's called The Nurture Revolution, Grow Your Baby's Brain and Transform Their Mental Health Through the Art of Nurtured Parenting. I'm excited for this interview.
Yeah, it's pretty great. Here's Greer Kirshenbaum. So just a little bit, I told you a little bit about this, and maybe your mom has told you a little bit about this, but basically the podcast is called Your Mom is a Podcast, and it's a way for us to find out how you got this way. And the fun fact of it is, like, there's so many ways that you got this way, but one of the ways is your parenting, your upbringing. And that's what's so fun about having you on as an expert in neurodevelopment of people who we are upbringing, of kids, of babies. So it seems like a perfect Venn diagram of things that interest us. So we're so grateful to have you. And it was so fun talking to your mom, Fern. So just to start off, how would you introduce yourself? Who are you? Why are you here?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I guess from your prompt, I'm going to say I'm a daughter.
That tracks.
I always give myself starting from my earliest experiences as a, you know, starting from a baby. But, you know, I think I'm such a product of all of those experiences growing up through babyhood, childhood. I'm definitely an academic. I was really led into studying and science very early, and I still love it so much. And then in the last, like, decade of my life, I've been led to be really interested in nurturing moms, babies, and my own child as well. So really curious about all of our relationships and what keeps us well, and, you know, how to focus that in our lives as a source of joy.
You're also an author.
Yes.
Amongst these other accolades. And I did read a good chunk of your book.
Wow.
And really enjoyed it. I listened to the audiobook.
Cool.
And it was
same.
I got a 4-year-old, so I wasn't able to get all the way through before this podcast, but I'm going to finish it because it's terrific. It's, you know, I wish I'd listened to it when he was in the 0 to 3 age, when you were actually like where your actual data goes. But just, I'm a little bit of a fanboy here now, Greer. I'm just going to be honest. Cause what at least it did for me was affirm a lot of the decisions we made. I mean, there's a few things where I was like, oh, we blew that. But there was a lot in there that I was like, oh, yeah, cool. We really did err on the side of, like, you know, of being really nurturing and, you know, always hold the baby whenever, you know, like a lot of those things. And I thought that was so cool and so enlightening to read that and, like, to see that there's actual neuroscience that sort of backs up our base instincts as parents.
Yeah.
That was really, really exciting. But why don't you tell us about your mom? Introduce her.
Sure.
Because she's going to be a big part of this.
Yes. Whenever I think about my mom, I do think of these infant experiences because me and my brother were both so high needs as babies. And we've heard these stories from my mom. Like, you know, she meets someone for the first time and she's like, Greer, when she was a baby, was so hard. And she always pushes me in the exact times where I need it so badly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Every mom wants to hear that because I'm sure mom is like, I don't know if I should or I shouldn't put my foot down in this moment. And you're like, every time you've done it has been the right time. Wow, she's going to love hearing that. Knowing Fern the way that I do now, I can tell you that she's going to love hearing that. So how do you think your mom introduced you?
Oh my gosh. I don't know. I feel like she would say I'm smart. It's hard to talk about myself.
No, this is, you're just trying to win the game. You don't to, you just, what do you think she said?
Yeah, remember, even though we know that sort of incentive-based parenting is not the best way to do it, for the show, it is very incentive-based. You are going to get a gold star for every question you get that matches what your mom answered.
I do like stars and A's, for sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, I feel like she would say I'm smart, driven, independent, yeah, ambitious, probably.
All right, so let's play the tape on how Greer's mom introduced her.
Greer has a very calm and quiet intelligence, and she can speak to anybody, and nobody would feel like they were talking to somebody who was more intelligent than they were. They would feel like she talks to them exactly as they want to be spoken to. But underneath the surface, people sense this deep well, and they really trust her. So she's always, in a very quiet, calm way, attracted her peers as a leader, but the most calm, quiet leader. And not, not one who steps up to lead, but just who does it naturally.
I love that.
Your mom? Wow. Your mom's kind of obsessed with you.
Yeah, she's kind of into you. That's interesting. Yeah, I'm going to give you half a gold star for that because intelligence, but the way she characterized it was so specific and beautiful.
She really holds you in a very special high regard. She's not like, she's cute. she really respects you and the work that you do, which was very cool to see.
And like understands you. It's like that's like, I feel like if I asked my mom, she'd be like, yeah, he's smart and funny. But like there was like specificity.
Yeah,
there.
My mom would be like, she's the best. She's absolutely the best. No details.
I know. I got to think about how I would talk about my son now because that's pretty incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she's had more time to get to know you than you've gotten to know your son. So do you feel like there was because you and your brother are both such high achievers, do you feel like there was a pressure to perform growing up? Or was it more about just like a love of learning?
Yeah, there was definitely pressure to perform. I think it was probably unsaid, but I was, I think I had the expectation for myself that I'd had to always have straight A's. And I was pushed to be a doctor. They put that into my head that you're going to be a doctor. And then I interpreted that as like, okay, well, I guess I better be really good at science. And I guess you need perfect marks to get into medical school. So absolutely. That was definitely put in my own mind over the curiosity and like the just learning for the sake of learning. I had to come to that later in life.
It's so interesting because I get a lot of that. Or I got a lot of that growing up as an Indian dude. Like, you got to be a doctor. I'm curious, like, where it came from your parents. Like, why were they so fixated on you becoming a doctor?
Yeah, I think my mom wanted to be a doctor, and that was transferred on to me for sure.
But is your mom a doctor? What does she do for her career?
She's a therapist. She's a psychotherapist.
Okay.
When I was growing up, people would come to her before they went to their doctor to diagnose them with things and give her opinion about what drugs and therapies that she'd recommend. She's like very interested in medicine. So I feel like she thought that I would like that.
You would pick up where she sort of left off. Okay. Well, why don't we play the tape now on, was there pressure to perform or was it about the enjoyment of learning?
Number one, no flashcards. There's no pressure and there's no performance. It has to be all about curiosity and following curiosity and also being curious about what other people are showing you. So it's not just following your own, but also being open to the curiosity of others. It's all about being relaxed, playful, fun. It doesn't have to be serious. I think seriousness turns children off. I think it puts pressure on them, and ultimately that pressure interferes with learning.
Okay, but it sounds like you felt pressure.
Yeah.
So that's going to be news to your mom.
I also wonder, it seemed like, and this is just in talking to your mom and psychoanalyzing her, and I have no right to do that, is she's learned a lot about parenting from you. and from reading your work and seeing you be with your son.
Yes, I think so too. I think there's a lot of learning. And I think I talk about this in my work so much, like every generation, we can sort of break free of some of that high pressure, you know, that can get passed on through generations. I feel like we, you know, as we can kind of free our babies and free ourselves, we get more joy and more play and all of those things. I completely see that through my mom's ability to do that, my ability, and then now my son. There's definitely like a freeing spirit through the generations.
So now having some perspective on your childhood and your accomplishments, do you think that if you didn't have that pressure, you would still be an academic PhD?
That's a really good question. I did love school and learning as well. And I was always interested in this question of like, how are we made? So I feel like I probably would have, I'm not sure if I would have gone into neuroscience. I did a PhD in neuroscience. I might have ventured more into the psychology, psychiatry kind of realm, possibly.
Because one of the, you know, one of the points of our podcast is really to figure out how we could be better parents. And the question that I always have to ask myself is, where does achievement fall in that definition of like, of raising better people? Because, you know, Sandeep and I are both kind of achievement junkies. And and that I think comes from our immigrant upbringing and society at large is very much about accomplishments and achievements. And so now that we're trying to consciously raise our children, you know, Sandeep is not doing any kind or is trying to not do a lot of incentive-based parenting, whereas my childhood, it was very much that. And I'm trying very hard to, you know, raise a kind, sensitive white man and have a lot of responsibility in that. And I think about how that might affect his accomplishments down the line. And so there is a, there's always a conversation around like, where do you talk about grades and where do you talk about just, you know, follow your curiosity. And if your curiosity takes you in the middle of the woods, I guess I'll see you there.
Yeah. I love that. I mean, I think about that with my son all the time too. I think it's great to have like big expectations, right? We expect great things, you know, from you and you define it, right? Mm. I think I've learned that, you know, listening to a lot of successful people who have followed their curiosity, it seems like they have that freedom to kind of take in all kinds of different experiences and learning and synthesize them.
That's super interesting, the high expectations piece. I don't think I'd ever heard that like framed that way, where it's, so it's like, oh, so have big goals, but you get to pick what those goals are. But like, you know, are you saying like, hey, you know, have a positive impact in the world, like you know, be the change you want to see, kind of thing? Is that where you're coming from with that? Or is it like, hey, be the top of your field, whatever field you want, but be the top of your field? Or
Or do you, I always doing your best, right? I think my mommy always said that to me growing up, that, you know, whatever you do, do your best. And I think I rebelled against it. I was like, oh, like this history paper, I don't
know. I'm going to half-ass this one, mom, in your face.
Well, that actually brings us to another question that we have, where I asked your mom, did she ever feel like there was a time that she put pressure on you to be a certain way? What do you think she said?
I would say no. I think the expectations for doing well in school were always there. But no, I don't think so. I think I did have a lot of freedom to discover who I was in a lot of different ways. Yeah.
Play the tape.
One of the things I used to say when they were younger, to kind of get them to think broadly, that could be construed as pressure, was, and then when you go to graduate school, instead of when you go to university. So it wasn't you have to go to graduate school. It was just to say your horizons should be large. So that, that could be construed as pressure.
It's just a gentle brainwashing. Yeah. So when you run for president.
Exactly. She did always say that. And she'd always be like, well, if you do this or that, you're not going to get into graduate school.
It's like a passive.
There was definitely that.
But it didn't sound like it ever came at the cost of, you probably never felt insecure in your attachment to your mom or like your relationship to your mom, right?
No, I think I could have always said, you know, I've decided this, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And I think there was no fear of, losing any.
So what role do you think your mom played in you becoming a neuroscientist?
She definitely guided me there. I had to do this really big science project in high school and I decided to do it on how early life experience creates a visual system.
Wow. Mm. So you was that something that you came to by yourself or was that something that was guided to you?
I think that means my mom.
So it sounds like she had a very heavy hand in you becoming who you are.
Yes. Yes. And she took me to the university library for that project and helped me figure it all out.
Well, let's see what your mom said.
When she was doing the IB program, International Baccalaureate High School program, she had to do an extended essay, which is similar to a thesis in university. And it took us 18 months to come up with a topic because I didn't want to influence her in my own interests. So finally, in exasperation after 18 months, I said, we need to choose a topic that you want to dive into. And I presented my own personal interest and she went for it. So at that point, I thought, oh, that's really quite interesting because I never wanted to influence her interest. She discovered it. Yeah. From that.
Seems like it was so definite gold star on that answer. Yeah. You called out the essay.
It's so it's funny. You became a neuroscientist, but I'm somehow more happy for your mom. I'm like, she did it. She got her daughter to be a neuroscientist.
Is that how it felt like she presented the idea and then you really took to it? Like, does that paint an accurate picture?
Yeah, definitely. Because I went so deep on that in my undergrad. Like, that was my whole undergrad, was focusing on those topics. So yeah, I was devouring all that information. I loved it.
Kind of kicking back a little bit, maybe further in your childhood, like what was the moment in your childhood that you think that you made your mom really proud of you?
I think all of my academic success really made her proud of me, for sure. Graduating high school, undergrad, my PhD. Yeah, getting my PhD was pretty emotional for a few reasons. One was my mom's mom. She was really brilliant and she was sort of like always tinkering with machines, and she could have probably been an engineer or something. That's incredible. Cool. Wow. And she did get a scholarship to university and she wasn't able to go. And I think getting the PhD kind of healed that experience for her.
Let's hear what your mom had to say.
When she was in grade 3, I went for a teacher interview. The teacher had on the wall, like all the tasks that the kids had completed. And I knew all the tasks they were doing would have been so easy for her and she wouldn't really have to think much about it. And she probably should have been, you know, had the most in the class. And she didn't. She was kind of like, you know, maybe top 3, but I thought, like, I knew the other kids and I just thought, I don't really get it. I found out that the teacher had told another teacher that Greer was the most phenomenal kid he had ever met, and he wishes he had a kid like Greer. And that was when I said, it's not what they're scoring, it's not what they're doing, it's the all-roundedness. And I think that's when I went, wow, that's fantastic. That was really something.
Wow. Did you even know about that?
No.
So there's no way you could have gotten the gold star because you didn't even know that happened. But I think that's kind of the magic of the show too, is like finding out these little tidbits of like behind the scenes, right?
How are you feeling right now?
I'm moved a little bit. That's really sweet to like hear something I didn't know about. I was thinking of that teacher.
And you were like, he was actually a jerk to me all the time, whole semester.
American Giant makes great clothing, t-shirts, jeans, and more right here in the U.S., creating jobs in towns and cities across the country. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
You've kind of already touched on this, but who do you think has had the biggest effect on you becoming yourself besides your mom?
I think my best friend. You know, she was always the place to, you know, discover like my sense of humor and fun and excitement and adventure and travel.
When did you meet her?
I met her at summer camp.
How old were you?
10 years old.
So you met a person that helped you become yourself when you were 10. That's very cool and lucky. Well, we asked your mom also who has had the biggest effect on you becoming yourself besides her. And what did she say?
Her had a really close relationship with my mother, and she still refers to it. So I think that would be it.
That's what I thought you were going to say. And I even gave you a hint, Greer. So no star for you. But as a consolation prize, you get a lifelong friendship with your best friend who changed your life. So it's fine. So how would you define your parenting philosophy?
Yeah, my parenting philosophy, my biggest goal in parenting is to always be a safe place for my son. So fully accepting him, you know, whatever feelings he's having, however much stress he's experiencing, just always being a place where he can come to and feel loved.
Mm.
And that's hard work.
What was your mom's parenting philosophy?
She was very loving and supportive, for sure. I think she definitely did everything to make us feel accepted and loved for who we were. Completely. I think we just now, I feel like I can take that and extend it even farther with my son. We know so much more about being curious about child's emotions and having them process them a little bit. I think she definitely led me to that place.
Beautiful. Play the tape.
Follow the child, and the child will tell you exactly what they want and what they need. It's about guidance as well as following, gentle guidance and following, because children will tell you exactly what they want and they need. And the more in tune you are with them, the more enjoyable it is for you as a parent, and the more you as a parent can grow.
So, I didn't hear anything about following the child.
Yeah.
Ooh, so it sounds like you're both really loving parents, but you didn't get this gold star.
Yeah.
So I think that's a big fat.
It's tough, but
you know, tough. Again, consolation prize.
Winning the game
bad.
Of life. Yeah.
Okay. This is a bit of a sentimental question, but what's one thing your mom wants you to remember about your relationship?
I think our best memories are trips to New York together, I would say. And yeah, it is emotional. I'll always remember all those times of just being free in the city, shopping, eating, going to plays. And just, if you know, when we did that, I'll always remember it because it was such special time, just the two of us. And we can kind of pretend the rest of the world didn't exist and just have fun.
Love it. Should play the answer?
Well, you know, it's interesting because when you become adults, there's more friction. And we're both adults now. And so sometimes, and I know that I was like this with my own mother, we want our mothers to be more, you know, more this, more that. I hope she remembers how in sync we were before we became women and we had differences.
Okay. I think there's the spirit of that in the answer, right? Like you're kind of talking about, you're sort of hearkening back to a time where you guys spent a lot of time with each other, right?
Yeah. I mean, the like daughters becoming women thing is just, it's a whole other transition. I mean, honestly, if you need an idea for your next book, like how our brains change as we become older and as we become mothers and our relationship to our mothers as we become mothers, it's a whole other, level of friction, as your mom said.
It's interesting, like, you know, before we move back onto the questions, like I was listening to your book and like there was, it's all stuff about it, like 0 to 3 year olds and like, you know, my kid's 4 already. And I was like, you know, I was like, okay, so how much am I going to be able to, again, apply to my life? But then there were these things, like you talk about safety signals, for example, as, and I'm going to, sorry if I'm going to butcher this, but it's just like things that, you know, that signal to you or to your child that like they are safe, right? And that like it bathes the brain in oxytocin, as you put it. And so like, you know, you're sort of, your primary, one of your primary jobs as a caregiver or nurturer is to like, to be able to present those safety signals to your kid, like when they're feeling upset, you know, or scared or whatever it is, that where they're feeling unsafe, ultimately, like you become a safety signal for them. But then I was also thinking like, I got to figure that out for myself when I'm full of anxiety and fear and stress. Like, what are my safety signals? If I know what those are, maybe I can, you know, more quickly employ those to like calm my nervous system down, you know?
Absolutely.
It's applicable.
Yeah. It's still applicable to my life. Is that like, were you doing that when you were writing the book? Is that what you were thinking? Were you thinking about that kind of stuff? Or were you?
Definitely. A lot of those safety signals for us as adults, the last chapter of the book is how to work with your adult brain, how to nurture your adult brain.
Okay. Yeah. I haven't gotten there yet. Damn it. Okay.
But I wish I went deeper into that because there is a lot of really cool science on it too. And a lot of the safety signals for us as adults do come from those early years, right? The smell of our mom specifically, I don't think they study dads, but I'm sure it would apply to dads too, is a safety signal for life. So
yeah,
you know, when you're an old person, the smell of your mom, her perfume or her soap or something.
It definitely applies for me with my dad, by the way. I could remember right now what my dad smells like, and it does. It feels, he smells like a new car, by the way, if anyone's curious. And
it's that new dad smell.
That fresh new dad smell just drove him off the lot. And yeah, and it for sure spikes a feeling of coziness and safety for me.
And and other things that remind you of him will too, right? Like his clothes, food he cooked, right? Yeah. Like all these things from those early years that made us feel safe, make us feel safe when we're adults as well.
So we asked your mom, what's the one thing you've always wanted to ask Greer, but maybe haven't yet?
What would she want to ask me, but hasn't asked me yet? I mean, I always ask my son, how can I be better, a better mom?
Oh, that's such a good question. Noting that question for my parenting journey, what a great thing to ask your kid. How can I be a better mom? And also just opening up the door for like, I am not the absolute and I have room to grow, and setting that example.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm also going to ask my kid how I could have been a better mom. All right, let's go to the tape.
Okay. Why I annoy her so much. You know, I think I'd like to ask her, you know, what it is that gets, you know, under her skin.
Yep.
She's just like, yep.
I can answer that.
Okay, no gold scar.
It's okay. You don't have to answer that here. But I do think that's like, you know, part of what this isn't even what we intended. Part of what has come out of doing this podcast is people getting to have conversations with their moms that they maybe haven't had. And I'm glad, I hope this is a prompt for future conversations, because it sounds like you both love the shit out of each other and have this deep empathy for each other.
Well, my question before we totally move on, you don't have to get into details, whatever, but I think that doesn't being annoying as a parent, like it just comes with the territory. I mean, everyone I have a close relationship with at a certain point annoys me. And then these are the people that are the ones that have the most, you know, critical relationship to you. So like, is there in your neuroscience studies, is there any way that I can not annoy my child? Is that possible?
I don't know. I would say no. That's just based on my own, right? I think, well, yeah, I think it's going to happen in every close relationship that we have. Mm-hmm. And communication's the way through, right? I don't know. Sometimes it's so hard to communicate, but it's simple, right? At the same time.
Do you have any tricks with your mom, like ways that you can access hard things to talk about?
Or with your son?
Yeah, I think it's always hard to talk about, but I think, you know, I am grateful. I feel like I can pretty much say anything to her. So I kind of just have to get myself, you know, ready to be open and vulnerable.
What's next for you, Greer? What's the big dream?
My dream is to just continue to like liberate parents the way that I have been. You know, Sandeep, you shared that you felt so validated, like reading my work, you know, in the parenting you were doing. I get messages from people every single day saying, like, you save me from a pit of anxiety and depression because I am, you know, I want to show up for my child. My intuition is telling me to support them and be close to them, but the world is telling me don't. And so that's my dream, is to reach as many babies as possible.
Do you think it was all like, did it all come from capitalism? Like, where did we get so divorced from nurture? You know, because it does seem just so instinctual. Like, your baby cries, go pick them up. like it feels like it had to take a Herculean effort to really kind of divorce us from that. So is it all just, you know, Huggies wanting to sell diaper? Like, what was...
Or moms having to go back to work, or dads having to go back to work, or prioritizing the long list of to-dos over being able to...
spend time with your kids.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think it was all in service to capitalism, for sure. And the Industrial Revolution, where, like, running a home probably was a full... like, we wanted moms running a home full-time, dads at work full time, which turned into both parents.
It wasn't enough for capitalism to have one. It was like, we need everybody working.
Yeah. And then also, I think, does have like some patriarchal roots as well, where within that system, you know, it's mostly these like male doctors who kind of started all of this in North America. But I think a lot of it was like the dads wanted the baby out of the picture, right? Like, they were like, this baby's taking up so much from my wife, from our relationship, that let's make a bunch of rules. Like they have to sleep alone, they have to be alone, they have to live alone. So that's my feeling on it as well.
Patriarchy and capitalism, the delightful duo that led us down a really fun path.
A word from our sponsor.
Yeah, exactly.
This next round is what we call the lightning round, and it's a short, quick answers. If you get the answers right, you get 2 stars.
Yeah, so you can make up for...
And we know you're really star hungry. We know you really, really only care about winning. So
I believe you're rolling in with 2.5 stars right now, so we can make up some ground right here.
Okay, so the first question is, we asked your mom, what's Greer's best trait that she got from you?
Well, we look alike, so I would say appearance, beauty.
I guess calm.
Okay.
Okay.
Like, what's... I'm going to answer, we're hot. Like, come on, Mom.
I mean, look at us. What's Greer's worst trait that she got from you?
Ooh, maybe stubbornness.
I'm overcautious.
Would you say you're also overcautious?
I fight it. Yes, but that is innate. Yes, innately overcautious. Yeah.
Sadly, another misfire. But okay, let's go to... what's Greer's favorite book?
I mean, I just read Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow. I love that book. That's my new favorite book.
Did she tell you? Have you talked to her about that? Because I feel like if that's your answer, and you haven't talked to her, you have. Okay, let's give it a shot.
Currently, Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow.
Bingo!
Yay! We really talked about that one a lot.
Oh, good.
And it stuck.
Greer, who would be the first person you thank in your Oscar speech?
I would thank my mom.
I think she would thank her husband.
Oh. So you have to remember, you know, like, she's probably going to be a little bit humble in the answering of that. That's the metagaming.
Yeah, all the metagaming.
All right, so we asked her, what do you think Greer's primary love language is?
Mine's quality time.
So I would say quality time and touch are kind of tied.
Bam. She tried to go for 2, but we're going to give it to you.
What are 3 adjectives your mom would use to describe you? You only need to get 1 right.
I guess she's been saying calm this whole interview. So calm, curious, and compassionate.
Well, all C's. I like it.
Intelligent, calm, resilient.
Hey, all right.
Ding, 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 ding.
Two stars for calm. I would have given you two for each. How about that?
I like resilient as a descriptor as well.
It's my word of the year.
Really?
Yeah, I've just used, thinking about it all the time in raising my little one. It's like, how do I help him build resilience?
And what have you come to?
It just sort of, it just reframes like how I engage and interact. So like if I'm like, say he hits somebody at school or something like that, like I'm like, or he gets hit or something like that. I'm like trying to, it reframes like instead of like going in with a shaming thing, I'm like sort of like, okay, how can I sort of help build his mettle, you know? And so it changes the framework of the discussion, you know?
Well, Greer, how do you think about resilience in like looking at the data and from your own parenting experience?
Yeah. So for the little ones, you know, like the definition of resilience is being able to recover from high stress, right? To get from levels of high stress back down to low stress so you can continue, you know, whatever you're working on. And so for the little ones, 0 to 3, when we accompany them with their stress, when they get high stress and we can co-regulate with them, be there with them, understand them as they lower their stress, that's building their resilience circuitry that they'll use later in life.
Hmm.
So they need help in the beginning in order to do it on their own later.
Very cool.
Greer, if you could choose a superpower for yourself, what would you choose?
Speed reading.
Oh, that's such a good one.
I have the superpower of being able to orchestrate more in less time, so you have more time for family.
I'm giving you it. I'm giving you the points there.
That's what speed reading is.
Yep.
What do you think your mom thinks your biggest fear is?
I guess being lonely.
Oh, all the fears I've put in her head about safety.
So crossing the street.
Yes.
Don't stand too close to the edge.
What was your pet name growing up?
Greerzy.
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 Bing, bing, bing.
Ding, 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 ding. And what was the best present you got your mom, according to your mom?
I know she loves the cards that I write her.
I think when she's made cards and she's written something beautiful in them.
Oh, that's so nice.
Amazing. All right. Well, look, you racked up the points in the lightning round. we're talking 12 additional stars for 14 and a half, which I think we keep landing on this number. I think this is like maybe the third or fourth time we've gotten 14 and a half. So congratulations. You're right up there, way well above average. So well done. Well done.
Just as your mom would have liked.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So this has been quite a trip. How are you feeling about all of this?
I'm feeling great. I'm gonna talk to my mom about some of the questions, and it's great. I feel more connected to her. I feel like it's opened a channel between us, which is really lovely. And yeah, these things are great to redirect us and remind us.
And where can people find more about you?
Yeah, they can find me mostly on Instagram at Nurture Neuroscience Parenting. And from there, yeah, I teach courses and have sessions with parents. So all my info will be there on my Instagram.
Thank you so much for your time and doing this kooky little thing with us.
Greer's lovely. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It was such a pleasure.
The thing that we got in this episode that we haven't yet seen in any of these other interviews is the complex relationship that we all have with our own parents. You know, I think so many people we've talked to and captured in these moments have been really touching or funny or educational. And it's just so cool to see that our relationships change with our parents over time. And our parents' view on how they raised us changes over time.
One of my big takeaways from the conversation with Greer and her mom was like, seeing that the challenge of not taking it personally with your kid is everlasting. It's an everlong challenge. It's not like, oh, just for the, you know, just until he's five, and then I'll figure it out. It's like, you know, especially with the question about like, what's the one thing you've always wanted to ask her but haven't yet? And she's like, why do you find me annoying? Like, that's so hard.
So true. It's, you know, there's real. So many people I want to ask that to. Like,
you can ask me anytime.
Sandeep?
Yeah.
Why do you find me so annoying?
Well, until next time, this has been a great episode of Your Mom is a Podcast. Your Mom is a Podcast is hosted by Milana Weintraub and Sandeep Parikh. It is executive produced by Milana Weintraub, Sandeep Parikh, and Stephen Hine. Editing and sound design is by Sean Marr. Music by Matt Friedman. This podcast comes from Effin' Funny Productions and Story Mill Media. Be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram and TikTok at Your Mom is a Podcast.
This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic, but today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries, sending away good jobs and diminishing our capability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make the kind of high-quality clothing staples you need for a comfortable, stylish, and active summer wardrobe. Like vintage-style tees, tough tank tops, breathable polos, lightweight sweatshirts, shorts, and so much more. All made right here in the USA, from growing the cotton to adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Then buy one, get one free on our full line sale of tender Tyson chicken with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.